Hello, hello, and welcome to this special show, Saturday. We are getting into it, and thank you for joining us. So this is Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us, and we got some hoots to talk today, ladies and gentlemen. Hope everybody enjoyed their July 4th, probably still enjoying the whole weekend and celebrating Independence Day. And, that's good stuff. So join the ride, 718-664-9098. Like always, Gmail, hit us up with your questions and comments, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Same thing with the website. Hey, we got that question. Where do you think Dwight Howard will go? Well, now we know with the Rockets. So you can, you know, answer and talk about that on our website at rayatetoday.com, as well as, you know, with us at Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, it's like, you know, hey, people sometimes get at us on Twitter. You know, I had somebody say something to me about Paul Gasol's the center. What are you talking about? Well, guess what? Paul Gasol is slated to be the starting center for the Lakers unless they make some crazy move. So I'm just saying. Anyway, Ray, let them know, man. What are we doing?
Well, we got a lot to talk about on this show, but we're going to focus our attention on NBA free agency. And the biggest free agent of them all, Dwight Howard, just committed to the Houston Rockets, reports and Dwight Howard himself are saying. So we'll get into that. But first, we'll kick off the show with some tennis. We have some Wimbledon action going on. The women's finals just completed. We're going to have the men's finals tomorrow. We'll get into quickly some MLB. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of Major League Baseball. And then we'll transition to NBA free agency. There's about 10 or 15, you know, major moves. I mean, Dwight Howard's Dwight Howard, but we've got some other free agent movements. So the NBA is going to look a lot different next year. And then we're going to bring you a new segment. You know how we love our segments, and we've heard some great feedback. So thank you, and continue to tell us what you think. We've got a segment called Yo, That's My Guy. So we think you'll like this segment. It's a bunch of guys who we picked the sport today. Today's going to be basketball. So the segment is going to be about guys that are a little below the radar screen. So they've the only requirement is that they haven't been an all-star. So they haven't been recognized as an all-star in their sport, but Ray and Tay like them. So Ray's going to give you his five. Tay's going to give you his five. And we'll talk about those guys. So, Tay, let's start.
That sounds good, man. Well, listen, I'm just excited. I'm going to let you break down Wimbledon and tennis, although I got something interesting to say about the men. But I think you should go to Scranton tonight to go see Derek Jeter rehab, coming back. You know, we had A-Rod come back. Now Jeter's coming back. I think the Yankees, who, you know, had a nice win yesterday, maybe the health train is coming, even though, you know, we lost our guy first base for the rest of the season. But Jeter, man, listen, the rehab and the ankle, and he's going to hit tonight. Scranton, are you excited? What do you think about that?
You know, he had that false start earlier in the season, and I guess it's just his competitive nature to say, I'm coming back, I'm coming back. It was way too early. And like Tay'll tell you,
ankles are no joke.
Can't be messed with, so you need to take your time. And if he's ready, then let's go. Let's bring it back. The Yankees need some heavy hitting, so they need some extra base hits, which Jeter doesn't really provide. But Jeter can give you some stability, can give you some leadership. And frankly, the Yankees are in jeopardy of just kind of languishing in third place in the AL East. They've won five in a row, so that's good. But the Yankees need a little oomph, especially offensively. So it couldn't come at a better time. So after the All-Star break, if Jeter were to come back and maybe A-Rod could give them a little stability at third, give them a little offensive production, I think the Yankees are the worst production out of the third base position in all of baseball. So that's not good. And the Yankees are in a division that all five teams can play. So unlike last 2 years, where it was just the Yankees and the Red Sox, and, you know, recently the Rays, and then, you know, even more recently the Orioles have come on. Everybody in that division is dangerous.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, obviously we discussed that on our last show, but, you know, we still see the Red Sox with the second-best record in baseball, 54-34, you know, and now the Pirates, 53-32. I'm loving it. The Pirates are doing it. But, yeah, I think for me, when you look at just, you know, quickly around the league, even in our own division, you know, the Blue Jays had their streak of winning, and so you think they're going to start to play better, and, you know, overall they had a bad start. They're getting healthier. Pitching is starting. You know, Dickey and the guys are getting together. You know what I thought was interesting? Lariano, you remember him from Minnesota with the Pirates.
He had his only
his second career shutout. So, you know, where back in the days, right, you know, these pitchers used to always – you know, get their shutouts. Now it's such a rare thing with, you know, just the pitching system in Major League Baseball, resting arms, middle relievers, you go six, you got a seventh and an eighth inning guy, and then a ninth inning closer. You know, Bob Gibson, Koufax, Jim Palmer, these guys, Nolan Ryan were horses. They would go nine innings like it was nothing. So I think Lariano gets his second shutout, so good for him. And remember when Bob Brenly was on our baseball preview, he was talking about his friend, but also great manager, Bob Melvin. And Melvin has got the Oakland A's 51-36. They're playing good ball, right? I definitely, you know.
They were talking about firing him before they went on that crazy streak from the middle of last year on.
I know.
So good for him.
Yeah,
and you know, the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League and the Oakland A's in the American League, they do it differently, but they're always there. They're like flies. You can't gnats. You can't get rid of them. You know what I mean? They're always around. And those teams, I mean, hey, kudos to them. You know, they definitely have both of those franchises always in competition. So you can never count them out.
Yeah, no, definitely. So let everybody know, man, what's popping off at Wimbledon? My girl Bartoli did her thing, and then we got to, you know, talk about the men.
Well, you know, this is one of the craziest Wimbledons ever, especially on the women's side, where you had right before the tournament, you had, what, 2 and 3 pulling out with Sharapova losing in the second round, and Azarenka withdrawing after she was injured. So that's 2 and 3 going down. Then you had Serena going down to Lisicki, and then you had a final of Marion Bartoli and Sabine Lisicki playing, so nobody anticipated that, and then it ended up being, you know, a lot of mistakes, and it wasn't a great match, but it was 6-1, 6-4, so
she kind of
spanked
her.
Crazy. Yeah, so I had a feeling that Lisicki was going to run out of steam when she was so excited about beating Serena. She ended up winning another round.
Right, the emotions of it all, yeah.
Right. She's like, oh, my God. She was crying. She was so emotional.
She's crying.
But
isn't that good, though, for sports, though? Be honest with me. I mean, didn't you kind of like that in some sense?
No, I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, she cares, man. She beat a legend. She knows that.
The problem, though, is that you're in a six-match tournament, so you still have to win two more to win it all.
You can't get spent emotionally.
And that's why sports is so funny, because there's not only the play on the court, but there's also the psychology of it. So everybody thinks, oh, you know, the best players always win. Well, not necessarily. You need to be physically tough. You need to have endurance, and you need to have mental endurance. You need to have stamina. So you need to psych yourself up when you need to be psyched up, and you can't go too high and you can't go too low. So, especially in these individual sports, right? Because you can't have, you know, Dwayne Wade can't have he can rely on LeBron and Bosch to carry him for a game or two. But when you're out there on your own in these individual sports, you know, it's all on you. So there's no
you gotta go off on your own, girl. I'll be sure off on your own, yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'll be sure. That's funny. But here's the thing. So then we've got on the men's side, shaping up to be, you know, two powerhouses. Obviously, you've got Novak Djokovic, the best player in the world right now, facing Andy Murray. And you know Andy
Murray. Great
Britain's
finest.
Yes, they are dying for him to win. Now, he did win on this court, but it was part of the Olympics when he beat Federer. And he won last summer in the Olympics. So he's won on this court, but he hasn't won Wimbledon.
And he lost last year in the finals. I think he's going to do it, Ray, and that's what I wanted to talk
about.
I watched the semis. Nah, I just think Murray's got something, man. He looks so good, and the crowd is not going to be so respectful. It is going to be like 90-10 in his favor, and I think they're going to push him over the edge.
Two sets, so he's faced adversity already in this tournament. I don't know. I think the Joker's too tough. I think Novak.
He is.
His first serve.
I'm going with the emotion, man. I want this dude to win. Andrew Murray has made me like him, you know, in tennis.
Okay.
And that's where I've been following more of the women's game the last couple of years. You know, obviously we both grew up loving tennis and, you know, with Connor, Agassi,
Ford,
McEnroe,
Jimmy
Lendl,
Connor,
everybody.
Ron Lendl, Matt Nylander. Those are our boys.
Arthur Ashe, you know, we watched it all. Bjorn Borg, you know, Noah's father, Yannick Noah. But I got to say, you know, it's nice to see, I think, we want some American men, definitely. But Murray's got something, you know, and maybe it's just the fact that he hasn't won, and you know, at his hometown and his home crib, you know, his home stadium, you got to root for this guy. That's just how I see it. Speaking of rooting for guys.
Well, one more tennis note, though. I just got to give these kids some props, which is
they're not kids,
I guess. They're 35 years old. But the Bryan twins, Mike and Bob Bryan, in doubles,
mm-hmm.
if they win, that means they're going to win the Grand Slam. They will have won four straight Grand Slam doubles titles, which would give them 14 Grand Slam titles, and they'd be 310 weeks at number one. And that would be 8 more than Roger Federer. So even though the world of tennis has really become, last 10 years, it's all about singles. Because remember, it used to be doubles, and the Williams sisters, you know, they typically
dominated
great
doubles.
In doubles as well. But these Bryan twins are about to do what they're calling the Bryan Slam. You know, that's pretty unbelievable. These guys really dominate their sport and give them, you know, they're American. So for all you American tennis fans who want to, you know, focus in on the fact that the American tennis on the men's and the women's side isn't great, go watch the Bryan brothers and see if they can win their Bryan Slam.
Well, I think you're right about that, yeah. And you know what? They play with emotion, too. You know, that's one thing you got to like about them. They bring it, and they're kind of performers, you know. They're kind of entertainers. So speaking of performers being liked, entertainers, hello world. Dwight Howard has finally decided, and you know what? He leaves the legacy, the legendary team. He leaves the team that's known for, you know, its guards, its centers, and goes to another franchise that's known for some great centers, leaves the Lakers, goes to the Houston Rockets, and now the whole NBA world can sort of exhale, and then the rest of the moves can go down. And a lot of moves went down beforehand. I think the Rockets are really still trying to get Josh Smith with Dwight Howard, and maybe it's Ashiq and Lynn. Ashiq doesn't necessarily, he said he doesn't want to play with Howard. I think he's just sort of bitter because he felt like, hey, I was the man last year. You know, I was the starter. Greg Smith was the backup, and now you're going to bring in Howard. If that deal doesn't go down, and they also traded Royce White to the Sixers, and, you know, they got Parsons and Harden, you know, Ashiq off the bench, do you like this Rocket team, and can Harden, Lynn, and Parsons, and Howard, can they do it?
No. in a short answer, no. I think that they're one piece away. So, and it
would
might
Josh
just
be that piece?
Josh Smith. And we said, it's funny because we kept saying that Josh Smith is one of those guys where if he's your best player, you're not going anywhere. If he's your second best player, you're pretty decent. But if he's your third best player, which he will be on a team with Howard and Harden and Chandler Parsons, you know, wow. And so a couple things here. So yes, if they get Josh Howard, then, and you know what, their big three, unlike the Knicks' big three where Carmelo and Amari kind of clash, their big three have totally different games, right? If you
and we're perfectly
Howard,
together.
Smith, and Harden. Harden's the leader. Howard's the enforcer, and Smith is the, you know, the defender and wing athlete that if you can get him to take good shots, he's a very good player. He's not a great player, but he's a very good player, and he fills in a lot of holes offensively.
Well, fantasy basketball guys know about him because he gets them sets.
Fantasy ballers know about him. So I love it. And you know what? It's so funny because you and I were talking about this, and it was obvious to me that he was going to Houston because it just made too much sense. He doesn't want to be under the spotlight and in the shadow of Kobe, and he doesn't like D'Antoni's offense in L.A. And L.A., you know what, to their credit or not, we'll see how the next 5 years run out. But, you know, L.A. said – they put up these billboards. But they basically said, look, we're L.A., and you need to want to be here. We're not going to recruit you over the top and try and twist your arm to be here. So, basically, we want a guy that wants to be here. And if that's not you –
But don't you feel like Kobe said that more than they did? I feel like Kobe really said that. You know,
probably,
I mean, they kind of put it out there a little after they felt like they were going to lose him. But I think Kobe was the one that was more sort of like, hey, respect the jersey, respect the legacy. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, but Kobe's talking about staying for 2-3 more years. So if Dwight's going to be miserable, then, you know, he probably made the right decision for him and probably made the right decision for L.A. too, because if you know, Dwight doesn't want to have Kobe screaming at him, talking about, look, I'm in my 17th, 18th, 19th years, and I need to win a championship, and you need to stop smiling and start working on your free throws and working on your game, and we need to win a championship and stop, you know, worrying about commercials and doing all the other stuff. So, I mean, I can see Kobe getting in his ear, and I can see Dwight being miserable. So, you know, and the no state tax and the young team, and the fact is that the other stars on that team – Harden and Parsons and maybe Josh Smith and who knows if they can keep, you know, Ashik and Lynn. And they're all sort of low-key guys. They don't seem to have dominant personalities. So
and they're
made
unselfish.
The yeah, it makes the most sense. And Akeem, the legacy of Akeem and Kevin McHale as the coach. So it just made, to me, it just...
Well, and they had Yao Ming involved. You still think of the, you know, Moses was there, lost to the Celtics at an 81 when he was the center for Houston. Ralph Sampson. You know, there's some history. You know, Yao Ming Skyped in on the visit with them. So,
and
kudos to the Rockets.
Also, kudos to Daryl Morey and the Rockets ownership.
He's doing it right now.
Everybody was like, "What are they doing? They're overpaying for Lynn. They're overpaying for Ashik, and they're overpaying for Harden." And a year and a half later, especially if they can move Lynn and Ashik and bring in a Josh Smith or bring in that final piece, these guys might be contending for the finals. So everybody was laughing at them, and now they might be laughing all the way to the NBA title.
I think it's going to be exciting to see play out. He's got a 4-year deal. Let's see how excited he is with $88 million 4 years. He'll probably get some commercials. He'll get a lot of love. He'll be revered down there. But let's talk about a team that he almost was going to go to. I love... probably one of the other best top free agents in this market here. I love that the Warriors got Andre Iguodala, 4 years, $48 million. They traded Jefferson, Beardrons, and Rush to the Jazz, freed up some more money. They bring back the young guard, Kevin Murphy. And the Warriors now, they could go small and sort of have AI, you know, at the three, maybe Barnes a little bigger, play the four, and Lee at the five, or they just, you know, run with Bogut and these guys. AI is an Olympian, got the medals. He can teach them how to, you know, he's been an all-star, teach them how to win a little bit more, and he gives them defense. That's what they missed in the fourth quarters against the Spurs. So now with Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, Barnes, Lee, Bogut, you know, maybe if they keep... You know, Carl Landry was talking about going to the Clippers, but if they could keep him and some of their other bench guys like Jack, I like, and Festus Ezeli, I like the Warriors and what they're doing. What do you think about this this move and their team?
I love it. I mean, he might be a little bit more expensive than I want to pay for. I don't know that I want to pay him $12 million a year, but what he gives you is a mentor to Harrison Barnes, a wing athlete that you don't have to run plays for, right? Their problem is not scoring. Their problem is defense, and their problem is fourth quarter execution. So the great thing about Andre Iguodala is that he can defend, and he can get his points without having to run too many plays for him. And at this point in his career, you know, one of the things he wanted to do, he wanted to have his money, which was why he was playing around with the Sacramento Kings, but apparently he also wanted to go with a good team, which is why he ultimately wanted Denver to re-sign him for the money that the Kings were offering. Well, he got the Warriors to pay him almost what the Kings were going to pay him, and he gets a much better team. And, by the way, he's got a team that, if everybody's healthy, that's a complete team. I mean, maybe they need a little bit more depth off the bench and maybe a little more, just a bit more size. But other than that, you know, they've got two dynamic guards in the backcourt. They've got a big man, Bogut, in a league that doesn't have many big men. Bogut, when he's healthy, is still one of the better big men.
Yeah.
And David Lee
played well in the playoffs
this year. Yeah. So that's a perfect setup. And you know what? Right. And you don't have to carry the team like you had to do in Philly. And you get the same offensive potency of the Denver team you came from, but at least this Golden State team hopefully is better, is more well-rounded, and is better suited to go deeper in the playoffs. So I great move for Iguodala and great move for Golden State.
Yeah, I definitely would agree. And then our guy, O.J. Mayo, he signs with the Bucks. I thought that was a good move. You know, they're still trying to figure out their team. Our Knicks, we bring back Pablo Priglione and our guy, J.R. Smith, for, you know, $6 million, 4 years with $26 million, $25.7
million. I was
Yeah,
we could get more money and would go elsewhere.
Right. I thought we were going to lose him. So I think with the moves that we made already with Bagnarni, bringing back JR, who was our second best scorer with 18 a game and sixth man of the year, I really like that. But you know what I'm upset about? They lost Chris Copeland. Chris Copeland went to the Pacers, and quiet as kept, Ray, the Pacers have made some nice moves. They signed guard C.J. Watson, point guard Donald Sloan, still thinking about moving Granger, but then they also bring in Copeland. They got rid of Hansborough, who wasn't doing that much off the bench for them anyway, Psycho T a little bit. But the Pacers are making some nice little moves.
So here's my question. So let me ask you to play GM right now. Now, you love Chris Copeland, and he's pretty cheap. So here's the question. Can you, as a GM, keep Copeland, George, and Danny Granger, who essentially play the same position? They're all different, but Copeland and Granger are closer because they're more offensive, and George is more balanced between offense and defense. So can you keep all three, or are you trying to move one of them? And if so, which one are you trying to move?
Well, this is what I do, right? Since they kept David West, brought him back for 3 years, you're right about Copeland, George, and Granger really can all play the three, and you like Stevenson's development of the two. Maybe you package Granger. Oh, this is a nice one. Granger, because his contract will be expiring after next year, I believe. Maybe Granger and George Hill to the Celtics for Rondo. And try to get Rondo on the Pacers. Maybe you try to do something like that. I think if you're going to sort of, you know, you already have George and then Copeland's a nice backup. Like you said, you don't really need three small forwards. You know, unless you just double up and have Granger start at the three, George at the two, and have Stevenson and Copeland back them up at two and three off the bench, which they could easily do for depth. You know, so, you know, we'll see, you know, how that plays out. But you're right. Uh-huh. It's going to be interesting. It could be very crowded, or they could just have guys be backups. You know, they might just keep a Sheik to back up Howard along with Greg Smith. You never know. Let me ask
all right,
you.
Well,
we got some other moves. Well, real quick, the Nuggets are looking like they might be the favorite for Monte Ellis, and they're aggressively going after him. So that should be interesting. And then let's talk about the Pelicans trade, where they, you know, send off Robin Lopez, Grievous Vasquez. They, you know, did the sign and trade, got Tariq Evans, our boy Grievous from Maryland. Yo, Terps goes to the Kings. Robin Lopez goes to the Blazers. They bring back Wiffy. We both like Wiffy. You really like Wiffy. I like the block shots. But then they re-sign our guy we talked about the other day on the show,
Alpha
Aminu.
Roo. Yeah, for 1 year, though. They signed Alpha
Yeah,
Roo for 1
but,
year.
You know, I mean, I think New Orleans, they got a nice little, because remember what you were saying, all those guards, it seems a little crowded. Well, you know, they sent away Grievous, and it's a little less crowded. And what do you like about Gordon, Rivers, Drew Holiday, you know, Tariq, Aminu, the 1, 2, and 3 is kind of solid in New Orleans now.
Yeah, the problem I have is that can all those players play together? Just like we said about Golden State, where you know that your scoring is going to come from Thompson and Curry. You like Iguodala, you like Lee because they get their points and you don't have to run plays for them. Are you going to have some frustrated Pelicans when, you know, Tyreek Evans is going to want the ball in his hands? Drew Holiday has the ball most of the time in his hands. And Eric Gordon thinks he's the best scorer on the team. So can all those guys coexist? And Austin Rivers, who I wasn't high on in the beginning, I think he really needs to, you know, he came out way too soon. He doesn't have an NBA-ready game. But with all of those guys competing for minutes at the 1-2-3, I mean, obviously your anchor is Drew Holiday, but you know, can Tyreek Evans and Eric Gordon play on the court at the same time? Now, Eric Gordon, you know, is a scorer. That's it, right? And Tyreek Evans is a complete, you know, more complete guy who, you know, started out as a point guard and they moved him off the ball, has had some great statistical years in Sacramento.
Yeah.
But, you know, we always put a discount on people that put up great numbers on a bad team, just like I think Ben McLemore might do the same in Sacramento, just put up huge numbers, but on a bad team, it's easier to do. So if you have aspirations around Anthony Davis and being a contender in the West, and Al-Farouq Aminu, another, you know, versatile small forward, can all of these guys coexist? I'm not sure.
Maybe give Monty some time. Maybe Monty can do it. I think he's a good coach, you know? And I don't think they're necessarily selfish guys. Gordon does like to shoot, but when he's healthy, proven to be a really good player. He came back last year but never stayed long and wasn't completely healthy. I think Evans is going to be really on the upside and excited to get out of Sacramento and play with some, you know, some guys. You know, I mean, maybe they keep Ryan Anderson, even though the Rockets are rumored to want to trade for him. You know, with Anthony Davis, we'll see what Whiffy can do, blocking shots. I want to give these guys a chance. And I think, you know, Rivers playing off the bench to, you know, back up Drew Holiday, gets his 10-15 minutes and develops. And listen, he's going to get better because of his work ethic and who he plays with in practice. I think their practices are going to be pretty intense, and we'll see, you know, what happens. You know,
right.
What do you think about what's going on in Dallas?
Dallas
and Atlanta, but to start off with Dallas, you know, Dallas is talking about Andrew Bynum. They signed Jose Calderon. You know, they really just have Nowitzki and Carter left. Doesn't look like they want to re-sign Collison, and they have Shane Larkin. What do you think, what's going on in Dallas? And, you know,
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. They were trying to get Dwight Howard and basically convince Dirk Nowitzki to give up that title of kind of the head honcho in Dallas so that they could get themselves with Dwight Howard. Maybe they're setting themselves up for a big splash next year in free agency. Because look at all the top free agents. Dallas didn't get any of them. Jose Calderon is a you know, a solid, you know, role player, and maybe, you know, Shane Larkin helps. He helps develop Shane Larkin. But I think they're setting themselves up for next year and the big free agency class of 2014 and that big draft class of 2014. So,
let me ask you this. Do they finally decide to let go of Dirk Nowitzki? Because there's no more building around him unless you're just going to say, oh, Dirk will be my second or third best player for the next couple of years if you bring in somebody else.
Well, the good thing about Dirk is that he's 7 feet tall and can shoot the ball, right? So even when you age, you know, he could become Bob McAdoo at the end of his career. You know how Bob McAdoo was the man
with the Buffalo, and then,
you know what I mean? And then the Knicks, and at the end of his career, when he won the championship with the Lakers, he was just a 6'9", 6'10", guy that could give you, at any given time, he could give you 20, and probably for the season could happen. So Dirk Nowitzki, you know, he could ride off in the sunset because of his ability to shoot and because of his size. You know, he could give you, he could play five more years, and especially if he doesn't want to be, you know, the 22-9 Dirk. If he's okay being the, you know, 18-8 Dirk, he could give you that for 5 years. So the question is almost we need to get into Dirk's head and say, hey, Dirk, you know, we won a championship together in 2010. Do we want to go do this again? And if so, we take a step back this year and we make a big splash next year.
To be honest with you, I don't think anyone's going there, though. I don't think anybody's going there.
Really?
I think there's no reason, except for the state tax, there's no real lure.
Yeah, but Mark, wasn't Mark Cuban the first owner to put his guys on a private jet, to have the nice locker room facility, to give them all the iPads?
Right, but now everybody's caught up. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think, name me the player that you think is going to go there. If they don't get Josh Smith.
Yeah, it's not
listen,
this year.
Jefferson went to the Bobcats, right? Millsap signed with the Hawks. In terms of next year's free agent, in 14, there's some big guys, but it's LeBron, Melo. These are guys that they're not going to go to Dallas. They're probably going to re-up with their teams. Unless you can tell me they can get Kevin Durant.
Well, he did go to school at Austin.
That's the only outside shot I can think of a superstar they would consider going there. Him at the 3 and then Dirk at the 4. Wow, you talk about shooting and length.
Could you imagine? 6'9"
He's got to be like, look, I need more help than just Dirk. I had Westbrook and Ibaka and stuff. You know what I mean? So I just don't know if Cuban and Nowitzki are that big of a draw anymore.
Well, you might be right. The only good thing if you're a potential Dallas player is that you know Cuban's going to do something. He's not just going to sit on his hands.
Right, he'll try his best to improve the roster.
Right.
Yeah.
He'll make things happen, right? We thought, oh my God, what is he doing with this Jason Kidd, and how much money is he paying to Tyson Chandler? And you know what? They won a championship. So I don't mind, as much as he's outspoken, as much as he's a pain in David Stern and not Adam Silver's butt, Mark Cuban, and one of his players. You know, everybody likes playing for him. So I think, like you said, he sort of reinvented the owner-player relationship, at least to the modern player, and maybe people have caught up. So he'll just keep reinventing. I think he'll make some big moves maybe next year.
Okay. Well, definitely keep an eye. Now, I like Jefferson going to the Bobcats. I know you've ripped Jordan before in the Bobcats or, you know, Hornets, whatever they're going to be. I think Jefferson is a good move with that sort of young team. So they probably won't bring back Byron Mullins, who might be reported to go to L.A. now. So what do you think about that move for the Bobcats, bringing in a pretty good scorer who, you know, will give them some size and some scoring, which they need, him and Zeller up front?
Like our guy said, Peter Vesey, he said, Jefferson's a black hole. You know, you put the ball in there and you don't get it out. But that's what they need, right? Their leading scorer was Gerald Henderson. And they have had offensive problems. They've had identity problems since they've been, you know, they've come back as an expansion team when they replaced the Hornets that left to go to, to go to New Orleans. So they need an Al Jefferson. They need an anchor of the team. You know he'll give you 18-9, you know, if on a good year he'll give you 20-10. So you know what you're going to get from Al Jefferson. He's a bit of a black hole. He doesn't make people better. But that team is so bad that they need something to build around, right? They're still going to be a lottery team. That 2014 draft for college kids is going to be great with Wiggins and Parker and Smart and all these kids coming out next year. So that team is going to build around Al Jefferson, and maybe Al Jefferson makes the team decent and respectable, and then at the end of his contract, they end up being ready to compete for a playoff position. So I don't love Al Jefferson on a good team, but on a bad team, that's exactly what the Hornets need. He gives them size, he gives them offense, he gives them rebounds, he gives them some identity. And
so he's very necessary.
Yeah, for that team, he's necessary. Exactly.
And as we, you know, talked about, you know, Doc Rivers making his moves, I think on the quiet side after, you know, that the Dudley trade, which, you know, we broke on the air with the help of, you know, ESPN and Real GM and all those guys, I think that, oh, and by the way, the Bobcats also re-signed your guy, Josh McRoberts. So he could score a little bit, too.
Bangs
so,
a
you
little
know,
bit,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah, a little two-year deal. So good for him. But I think that the Clippers bringing back Barnes, I like that move. So I do think if they can get Carl Landry, that would be the one piece that would put them over the edge because they really need a backup four or some sort of size. But I think the Clippers and Doc Rivers, like they're putting together some veterans that are not too old. You know, where last year they went so old with Odom and Grant Hill, I think, you know, Barnes comes back. He played well for them last year. You know, Dudley and Redick are sort of young veterans that can shoot. So do you like Barnes coming back, and do you like the direction Doc is headed in, especially if they also
have
Carl Landry?
I love Matt Barnes, especially in the playoffs, right? He upped his production in the playoffs to be like 11-5 in the playoffs, and he was one of those few Clippers that really showed up in the playoffs. And he is one of those guys that, you know, sometimes is annoying to play against, but he's the type of guy you want on your squad. So Matt Barnes
does
is
a little
one
bit
of
those everything.
Wily veterans. Now, again, Doc Rivers is going to have some major issues here in terms of playing time because he's got, you know, he just brought over from Phoenix a couple of guys that are going to want some playing time, right, and deservedly so.
Dudley and then Redick from Milwaukee.
J.J. Redick and Dudley. And then he's got the well, he didn't win sixth man, but it was second sixth man, Jamal Crawford, who's going to want some, you know, obviously some big minutes and to shoot and come off the bench firing. And Matty Barnes, right? So you've got some issues. I mean, they're good problems to have.
I don't think it's a problem. I think you're
have.
Always concerned about minutes, and I think, you know, minutes work themselves out. It's an 82-game season. Look at how the Spurs do their minutes. There was nobody upset. I don't think minutes is really ever an issue unless you've got somebody like an Amari, like someone like injured that's coming back and you're trying to fix it back. Someone was a star. So, like, you can maybe say that to the Pacers with Granger, how that works. But I think coaches handle it and players just, you know, I think it always works itself out. You don't
Let me ask you something. Now, we talked a lot about players, right? One final one is Millsap, obviously, going to the Hawks. So
we
didn't really talk about that. Where do you think Atlanta's going with that?
Well, they got Millsap, Damari Carroll, you know, all these draft picks and players they've been, you know, getting. I think, obviously, they said they're willing to do a sign and trade with Josh Smith. And that could even happen to, you know, maybe possibly Golden State or to, you know, Houston. I don't know. I think Atlanta is, look, teams like Atlanta, Boston, I think they're just gearing up to get a nice lottery pick. And I think that they're not going to overspend for guys and rightly show. So, I mean, this guy wants to be a max player and Josh Smith isn't. But I feel like nobody's going to Atlanta. It's a nice city, but they've never had a great fan base. I mean, I just don't think players are going there. I don't think it's a destination. If your hometown guys don't want to go down there and play, like Dwight Howard or Chris Paul or whoever else is from Atlanta, then, you know, you're in trouble. So I don't see, you know, who they're going to get. You know, re-sign Culver, Kyle Culver. I just don't see, you know, any big-name guys that are going there. I mean, yes, Millsap's good. He gives them scoring, and I like him. I would like maybe if they got a Sheik and Horford, you know, then they have like a nice three big guy rotation there. Otherwise, you know, Horford and Millsap, they're both undersized. Horford's really, you know, not a five, he's a four. Millsap's not a five, he's a four as well. And not even a big four, but he's solid at four. So, you know, I think Atlanta's a mess. Also, you know, the Raptors, they sign Julian Stone. The Cavaliers got Earl Clark. And the Warriors probably won't bring back Jack. They had to renounce his bird right, so he probably won't come back. So, I mean, we'll see how
it
is.
I like Jared Jack. I think the problem is he's getting expensive for his role, but he's an awesome, you know,
great. Oh, he was great. He won them a couple of games. in the playoffs. You know, he was their guy. Now, what do you think about the Spurs, though, bringing in Marco Bellinelli, who left the Bulls, who played really well for the Bulls?
I love it. I love it for the Spurs. Bellinelli took less money because he wanted to compete for a title. He wanted minutes, and he loves that international flavor that they have over there in San Antonio. So, great pickup for San Antonio. You know, it gives them stability.
Is he sort of like the younger Ginobili?
Yeah, and they brought back Ginobili, too. So, but
yeah.
Then he's Gary Neal's basically out. But Ginobili and Bellinelli, you know, gives them some size at the two and some shooting and some outside, you know, stretch.
I think it's a great move.
Players. Yeah, that's great. And then they just let Kawhi Leonard, you know, basically emerge to become the, you know, I don't know if he'll be a superstar, but, you know, the really solid, you know, all-star, borderline all-star player. But let me ask you this. So we talked a lot about players. Talk to me about Brad Stevens.
Official.
Coach,
yeah.
Going to the Boston Celtics, the 36-year-old Brad Stevens.
You know that drives me and you crazy. We're both older than him.
If there's anybody who's you know, done it. I mean,
coaching and younger than us.
National championships out of mid-major. That's pretty impressive. But what do you think about him? And what do you think about that Boston Celtics roster that he's inheriting?
I think it's the right direction. I don't know if they trade Rondo at the deadline or keep him if he feels like he could really – if Stevens and him get along, I keep Rondo, and he sort of leads this team into the future because he's still young. But I think Brad Stevens is the perfect, perfect hire. You know, they've got Olenek, Sullinger – you know, all these young players, they bring back Chris Joseph. I think that, you know, the Celtics are definitely in a rebuild. Hopefully, you know, they get some draft picks that they want. You know, how they missed out on Tim Duncan when they sort of tanked it for that. But I just think Stevens is a solid coach. And, you know, yeah, he played Division III ball. He's not an ex-NBA guy, but I think the team will be young enough. And I think they'll respect him because they'll see the dedication, the hard work, and he's got a winning pedigree. Even though he didn't win a chip, he, you know, basically won a chip for the roster that he had to get there. And guys in the NBA that have played for him probably speak highly of him. So I think Danny Ainge, I got to say, Danny Ainge kind of knows what he's doing. And, you know, look at the guys they have. They got the Colton Iverson, Olenek, Fab Mello, you know. So, you know, these are all the guys on their summer league team. So they'll be good in 5 years, Bill Simmons and our boy Coach Eric Newman, Coach E. Newman, big Celtic guy. So you just got to wait, you know.
I think it's a perfect, yeah, like you said, perfect coach, perfect situation. So Danny Ainge saw the team falling apart, was able to get arguably the best coach in college, certainly the best young coach in college, and he was able to get a number one draft pick out of Doc. He was able to trade his two stars and get some stuff for them. It took on probably a little more than he wanted in Jared Wallace's contract. But for a team that you knew was falling apart, I think Danny Ainge did a wonderful job of getting something out of it. And then who knows what will happen with Rondo. But if he trades Rondo, he can totally revamp the team in a matter of months. And they're going to go for it again in 2-3 years.
So but tell me this isn't funny. The bottom part of the East, Ray, that roster is still good enough to win. They can make the playoffs.
But they don't want to.
If Rondo comes back healthy, they can make
the lottery. They want to be in the lottery.
I know, but the team is good. It's not that bad.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So, I think it's about that time. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's do it, man.
All right. Well, I don't know if you want to drop some music on them. Or if we just go
let's enter our new segment with a little bit of flavor, you know, because Ray and Tay, we does the hip hop, we do's it, we bring you some flavor, and we have a new segment. Ray already told you about in the breakdown, and it's simple and it's straight up and it's like, yo, that's my guy. And it's not all stars. It could be any sport. We're doing the NBA. I don't know what's up with the music. It's bugging out. But you know, it's real simple in the sense that we're talking about guys that are just, they earned our respect because they ball out. They're just not, you know, all stars and that caliber yet, but they definitely, they got the boogie and they do their thing. So, guess the music ain't coming, but that's all right. Blog Talk's having some issues. Ray, let's start off. I don't care what position you want to do. Who's the first on your Yo, That's My Guy team? We decided to do a starting five for the fans. So who's your first guy and what position you going with?
So let's start big. I'll start with my big man, my man in the middle. Man in the middle.
In the middle.
We talked about him earlier as an underrated guy, and I still think he's underrated. And I'm going to get on the bandwagon until he becomes rated. And his name is Larry Sanders, center,
Oof.
Milwaukee Bucks. And this guy averages, don't tell anybody, real quiet, 9.8 points, so just under 10 points, 9.5 rebounds, and 2.8 block shots a game. So Larry Sanders, without much ado, playing on a bad team, well, I guess they're number 18. They made the playoffs. So not a horrible team, but not a great team either. But Larry Sanders not getting the love that he would if he played in a big market, but certainly a young up-and-coming big man in this league, super athletic, long. He's my guy. Yo, that's my guy, Larry Sanders.
Larry's your guy. Well, I'm going to start off at my three. And my three guy, I've talked about him all year. We spoke about him with Ian Bailey when he was on our show. He just signed a two-year deal, $6 million, guaranteed, a 27-year-old rookie, now with the Pacers from the Knicks, Chris Copeland. Copeland played really well in the playoffs. You know, he only scored like, you know, six a game, a couple of like four or five rebounds, you know, one assist. But what I like about Copeland, Ray, is that he gives you a little bit of everything offensively. He's like a veteran scorer already at 27 in the league. And, you know, he's got the long locks. You know, Tay used to have the long locks. I got to give him some props, you know. It doesn't look sloppy like Purvis Ellison. It's, you know, he got it, like, styled up nice. And Chris Copeland, watch him because he could score the three. He could, you know, get the offensive rebound, you know, go off the dribble. He's good. Yo, that's my guy at the small forward.
I like his game. My only fear with him is when you go to a team and you play the same position as the two best players on the team, unless they make a trade.
He'll earn his minutes. Hey, Melo, look, he did it in New York with Melo, right?
Yeah, but that's only 1-3. He's got to play behind Paul George.
We'll see.
And
the Pacers aren't done yet. Patience,
yeah.
Young man. Patience.
Okay.
The Pacers aren't
good.
Done yet.
Like
Go ahead.
Him.
Who's your next guy, man?
So my next guy is another guy from a losing team that is an unbelievably versatile player, except you wouldn't know that because you never see him on TV. And unless you're a real NBA head, you don't realize how good this young guy is. And he was a star coming out of high school, and he played a couple years in college, and people thought he had some potential, but I don't know if people knew that he could be this good this soon. Again, he'd be a household name if he was in a bigger market or on a winning team. So
right.
We're talking about, and he's a lefty, so you know if he's a lefty, that just feels good.
Ray and them lefties.
For Ray. So Greg Monroe. So we're talking about 16 points, 9.6 rebounds a game for Greg Monroe. It also gives you 3.5 assists and 1.3 steals a game. So unbelievably, the player efficiency rating, if you're into those stats, of 19.5. So Greg Monroe, your all-around big man, 6'10", getting it done, scoring, rebounding, assists. Yeah, the Hoya paranoia. You know, he may turn out to be, obviously Iverson is probably the best of this generation, but next to Iverson, I mean, Greg Monroe, put him on a good team. Put him on the Lakers. Put him on the Celtics. Put him on, you know, the Knicks, the Hawks. You know, he'd be a lot more of a household name. But Greg Monroe can play ball, folks. He's a borderline star. He may not even be, you know, next year he may not be on the yo, that's my guy list because the league might recognize how good he is.
Yeah, well, if the Pistons can improve, you know, we'll definitely see what happens. Well, next for me, I'm going to go a little small. I'm going to go with a guy that played for the Knicks, bounced around the league. This year he played for the Bulls, and, I mean, had one of the greatest games ever in the playoffs against the Brooklyn Nets. I'm talking about Lil Nate Robinson, dunk contest champion, 11 a game for his career, 2.5 rebounds, 3 assists, almost a steal a game. Nate is barely 5'9". You know, I don't even know where they list him at. But, you know, to me, Nate Robinson's game is so nasty because he's the size of the point guard, but sort of like, you know, Iverson and some of these other small guards, Spud Webb, Muggsy Bogues. He's really like a two guard. He just scores. You know, Nate, you know, bounced around. He's been around, you know, the Knicks, the Celtics. He played for the Thunder, played with Golden State. And then, you know, this year we'll see where he goes. With the Bulls last year, he's number, you know, 4 and number 2 in your program, number 1 in my heart. That's my point guard, Lil Nate Robinson. And I'd love for him to come back to the Knicks. So that's, yo, that's my guy, the one, Nate Robinson.
Okay, all right. Well, I keep moving down. So I have my center. I gave you my big forward. Now I'm going to give you my small forward. And he's another lefty. So, you know, I got my lefty. I need to get a few lefties on my team, just so you know.
Is there any bias there, Ray?
No, not at all. They can ball. These guys can all ball. They just happen to be left-handed ballers. But, no, this guy is a young stud, played 1 year in college, showed some potential, was drafted towards the end of the first round, playing on a team where, you know, at first they didn't know if he should start, if he should come off the bench. So now he's fixed starter at the 3 position, averaging 14.8 a game at 7.5 rebounds. He led his team in rebounds from the small forward position. That's always impressive in the NBA.
Yeah.
And he also gives you 1.6 assists. So my small forward on my, yo, that's my guy team, Thaddeus Young. And he's a guy at 6'8", 235, who can really do it. He can defend on the wing. He can penetrate. He can shoot a little bit. He can fill the lane. He can rebound for you. So that's my guy, Thaddeus Young, that left-handed swingman, averaging almost 15 and 7.5 rebounds a game. Thaddeus Young, that's my guy.
I'm not mad at Thaddeus. I'm going to go to my big guy. I'm going to save my favorite for last. I'm going to go to my big guy at center. At the Phoenix Suns, played with the Orlando Magic, used to be Dwight Howard's backup, Marcin Gortat. Seen him a couple times out here at Phoenix, you know what I'm saying? Went to go to the games, check him out. Only 8.6 a game, you know, 6.9, 7 rebounds, you know, almost a steal, you know, 1.2 blocks a game. Gortat is nice. He doesn't stat stuff. But he's so solid. You know, this year he, you know, averaged 11 a game. The year before, 15. He can really put it in. And I think when he gets the time, he's a solid, you know, double-double. You know, I mean, he only had a double-double the year before last. We had 15 and 10. That's his best season. But when he gets the minutes and he's healthy, you know, I think he can really give you a solid double-double. This year was 11 and 8.5. But Marcin Gortat, whether they keep him in Phoenix or move him, maybe to a playoff team, you know, imagine if he went to the Heat. But Gortat can score in the post, could pass, good hands. Marcin Gortat, yo, that's my guy at center.
Well, I'm sticking with that same team, the Phoenix Suns, and I'm looking at Marcin Gortat, point guard, not international player. Goran
Dragic. So when he was playing a couple of years ago with Steve Nash, they said, wow, this kid can really play. I mean, he'd been in the league for a little bit, so there was some, you know, everybody saw kind of his potential and the flashes that he could bring. But when Steve Nash kept getting hurt and couldn't stay healthy in Phoenix, and Goran was getting his minutes, they said, wow, all right, we can build a team around this guy, the point guard. So Goran Dragic, 14.7 points per game, 7.4 assists a game, and even gives you 3 rebounds. So he's a bigger point guard. He can run a team. He can score. He's top 10 in the league in assists. Underrated player. And again, if he was in a bigger market and if he got more, if his team were a little better around him, he'd get more primetime pub. But the point guard of my team, yo, that's my guy, Goran Dragic.
All right, I'm going to the 4, my power forward. This is about to be his 11th season. He's a free agent, could re-sign with Golden State or go to the Clippers. Basically, 12 points a game. 5.3 rebounds, almost half a steal, half a block. You know, he's just solid. His name is Carl Landry. No relation to Tom Landry. It's Carl Landry. A solid power forward who really was clutch, just like Jaren Jack was for the Warriors in their playoff run. You know, I think really contributed. He's fundamentally sound, undersized, but what he does is just, you know, give you his boards. He got you, 6 rebounds a game this year, gave you 10 points off the bench. You know, he could score a little. His best he's had in his career, he's had, seasons where he's had 12, he even scored 18 a game one season. So Carl Landry can do it, He's played at a couple teams in New Orleans, Golden State. Carl Landry, guarantee, if he goes to the Clippers, he will be a stud off the bench. And trust me, the Warriors want to re-sign him and keep him if they can. Carl Landry, yo, that's my guy at power forward, from the Rockets to the Kings. So now from Golden State, maybe to the Clippers.
All right, well, my final guy next year will definitely not be on this list.
Okay.
This guy is a sharpshooter. This guy is the reason that Golden State was able to trade Monte Ellis and not skip a beat. They traded him, and they got big, and they were able to sort of revamp the team. Son of an NBA player, little known that his father was the number one overall pick. But Michael Thompson's kid, Clay, that's with a K, for those who don't know. Klay Thompson, 16.6 a game,
yes.
3.7 rebounds, 2.2 assists. But for him, it's all about his shooting, right? And he creates the best backcourt potentially ever, but certainly in a long time, the best shooting backcourt with Curry and Thompson. Two NBA players' kids, right? Del Curry and Michael Thompson must be so happy right now. But 40% three-point shooter, 84% from the line. Klay Thompson is a future all-star, great shooter, and, yo, that's my guy at small forward.
All right, well, I'm wrapping it up with my two guard as well. Number 2 in the NBA draft for 2013, Orlando Magic. Spoke about him all season. Could have been, should have been, maybe my eyes, player of the year. But for his career in Indiana, I'm going with Victor Oladipo, the potential rookie of the year, the Orlando Magic. 10.7 a game, 5.2 rebounds, 1.7 assists, almost a steal. Victor Oladipo is the man. And he will have a nice career at Orlando, whether he starts at the 2 or comes off the bench. Eventually, he will be, the poor man's Dwayne Wade and get his love and respect. Victor Oladipo, yo, that's my guy.
Well, that's awesome.
And we finish up our starting fives. Yeah, man.
Yeah, great new segment.
Good show.
I like that.
We'll be back Wednesday, the 10th, when all the NBA free agency is official. Ray and Tay today will be there to bring it to you. And love talking sports with friends, man. Great
Enjoy
show.
Enjoy the weekend.
thanks for spending some time with us. We look forward to seeing you again on Wednesday.
Peace.
We're out.
I wanna scream so loud for you.